When I was a kid, people actually took time off in the summer, including the people making TV shows that ran on the four stations that we had back then. So in the summer, we got reruns. Here at Geological, we're taking the month of July to, as they say here in Missouri, go fishing. I'm looking at it as some yintonification in the middle of the greatest yang of the year. So for the month of July, I've got some reruns for you that you've likely not heard because they are some of my favorite conversations from the early days. You may or may not know that before Geological, I did a podcast called Everyday Acupuncture. It was aimed at the general public, and so we didn't get all deep and geeky with the medicine, but it turns out a lot of acupuncturists listen to Everyday Acupuncture, and it was your interest that sparked Geological. So I hope that you'll enjoy these pre-heaven conversations from before Geological was Geological. When I lived in Taiwan, there was a little tea and antique shop on the corner of Yongkang Street and Alley 52 where I lived. It was an inviting place, and I kept thinking in those early days, one day when my Chinese is better, I'm going to go in there. Up until the day I thought, I don't care about how lousy my Chinese is, I want to see what's in there. What was in there was a gateway into Taiwanese tea culture. What was in there was a man who became a good friend over the years. I'd go there often to drink tea. It was a pleasant way to work on my Chinese in the wild. I got to meet people from all over the island and from all walks of life as well. I had the opportunity to learn about Taiwanese culture, thought, humor, and generosity. The E2000 Tea Shop was a portal into a world that rhymes with every cup of tea that I drink today. I do love tea, and I love tea shops. Today is a recording made on one of my trips to Taiwan. My friend Pia Giamasi, who you can catch over in episode 120, we were discussing the archetypes of Confucius and Carl Jung. Pia takes me to one of her favorite local tea shops in Kaohsiung, Taiwan. Today's episode is a taste in audio form of what it's like to spend a little time exploring tea in a traditional Chinese tea shop. And here's the really wonderful thing. These kind of tea shops are all over Taiwan. It truly is an extraordinary aspect of Taiwanese culture, and I'm delighted to share this with you. These Geological conversations come to you through the generous support of our sponsors and members. All the sponsors here provide helpful products or services that you'll find beneficial in your clinical work. Love the healing power of Moxa, but not the smoke? Lhasa OMS has a bit of magic to share with you. I'm a hands-on guy, but I've found that clinic management is actually best done with software, and Jane makes it super easy to get on board. Do you love learning herbs? Golden Flower Chinese Herbs has a fantastic collection of herbal monographs that will expand your knowledge and your skill. And later in the show, listen for some unique opportunities from Ann Cecil Sturman's Classic Medicine Academy, and the folks at Blue Poppy share their amazing teishin needles and other Japanese acupuncture supplies. Do be sure to visit the sponsors page on the Geological website to take advantage of all the special offers our terrific sponsors have for listeners of the podcast. I want to take a moment and tell you about Jane, my favorite clinic management software and EMR. Whether you're just starting to do your research or you've been contemplating switching your software for a while now, the Jane team understands that the process can feel intimidating. That's why their goal is to provide you with all the onboarding resources you need to make the switch as smooth as possible. Jane offers a personalized call to set up your account, free data import, and a variety of online resources to get you up and running quickly. And if you need a helping hand along the way, you'll have access to unlimited phone, email, and chat support included in your Jane subscription. Interested in learning more? Book a one-on-one demo at jane.app/switch. And if you decide to make the switch, remember to use the code Geological at sign up to receive a 1-month grace period on your new Jane account. In 1989, John Scott and Loretta Monda saw a big problem with the Chinese herbs they had access to, as a significant number of imported herbs were adulterated with undisclosed ingredients. They wanted to provide the safest, most effective Chinese herbal products at a fair price, and that's what started the company. Like you, they care about their patients, and they wanted the best for them. Golden Flower Chinese Herbs has traditional formulas along with novel, modern ones to help you treat your patients and family with effective, potent Chinese herbal medicine in tablet form. Have you seen Golden Flower's excellent monographs? You can find them on their website. Take a deep dive and explore Chinese herbal thought, theory, and practice. Golden Flower is a practitioner-founded and operating company crafting solutions for other practitioners. Visit them online at www.gfcherbs.com and enjoy those monographs. I recently had an amazing experience. Lhasa OMS let me try the revolutionary Premio 10 Moxa device by Sedatelic. For people like me who can't tolerate smoke, it's a game changer in moxotherapy. Crafted with an ergonomic design, the Premio 10 smokelessly generates the heat signature of Moxa. It's not just hot, it's Moxa hot. The patients I've used this with love it. If Moxa smoke is an issue, you'll love this device that supports both stick-like and precise Japanese-style treatments. It's a modern innovation that supports your traditional work. Elevate your practice with the Premio 10. You can get it at lhasaoms.com. And for the next 2 months, get 15% off your entire order using MAX15 at checkout. That's MAX15 at checkout at lhasaoms.com. Offer expires 5/31. Some exclusions apply. Welcome, everyone. Let's go explore some extraordinary Taiwanese tea. Hey, Pia, 我们去喝茶好不好？太好，我带你去我朋友的茶馆，不是茶馆，他卖茶的地方
tea shop.
Okay. We're going to go to your friend's tea shop. All right, let's head on out.
Just around the corner from my house. Lucky you. And
这么方便.
Yeah.
Convenient for you.
Not only does he sell tea, he makes the tea himself too.
All right.
And they've just gotten their 纯茶. You can open the door here.
The 纯茶. What kind of tea is 纯茶?
春茶 is it's the oolong tea, and it's the spring bloom.
Okay, so this is the new spring bloom that we're going to go check out.
Yes.
Okay, so we're here in
Kaohsiung, Taiwan.
Southern part of the island.
Yep.
And we're headed to Pia's friend's tea shop. We're walking along the street. You'll probably hear motorcycles and.
The land of scooters here because it's much easier to park, and it's just too hot. It's too hot to sit in a car.
Well,
it's much easier to have it's much more comfortable to have the breeze as you scooter along.
Well, and not to mention that finding a place to park a car around here?
Oh yeah.
Not so easy.
Now my friend in Taipei says that she sees an empty parking space on the side of the road. She feels like parking just out of spite.
Just so I can have a spot.
Just so that I can say I've parked in Taipei.
Well, you know, the nice thing about Taipei is, while scooters are very convenient there, the mass transit MRT system is phenomenal.
Yes. But not the same. I mean, Kaohsiung actually has a pretty good system, but you have to... first of all, do a lot of research, and second of all, you have to be very patient for the buses to come. And most people don't, so it's not really, it's not as convenient as Taipei, and most people don't take public transportation.
So you gotta ride the bike. Scooter it up, except for us, we're walking around the
scooter
corner.
There is the underground now, which is pretty good in Kaohsiung. For, you know, like if you're just here visiting the city, it'll get you to most places you want to go.
Well, conveniently, we're just walking around the block right now. So,
yes.
Pia, tell us a little more. We've got some spring tea.
coming up.
Yep.
What are the kinds of, and what's the name of this cat? Who is this guy that we're going to go visit?
Mr. Lee.
We're going to see Mr. Lee for tea.
Yep.
All right. So in addition to the oolong teas, which Taiwan is very famous for, what other kind of stuff does he carry?
He primarily sells oolong, but he has a little bit of Dongfang Meiren.
Oh, that Dongfang Meiren is, that's more of a northern tea, isn't it? Isn't that from the north part of the island?
A little bit farther north. But actually, it's a type of leaf which is different than the oolong type. But it also has to do with there's bugs that come and bite the edges of the leaf, and they leave a little bit of their saliva on it, or their chemical, whatever they excrete. Mm-hmm. And that has a chemical reaction with the leaf that adds a honey flavor that characterizes the oriental beauty.
And that's where the Dongfang Meiren's flavor comes
from. That's where the mei of the Dongfang Meiren comes from. Yes. Wait, we gotta wait. Wait, Peaches is not catching up. She's got short legs.
Okay. Here in Taiwan, you can take little dogs to the tea shop. It's totally a cool thing to do. What kind of tea are you making for us here?
现在我们喝的是台湾高海拔的梨山茶.
So it's very high. It's a very high mountain called Li Mountain, Li Shan, and it's the oolong tea from there. Okay, so it's the largest area producing tea at the largest and at the highest level producing tea, and it's kind of like on the edge of two counties between Nantou and Taichung.
So it's basically the middle part of the island.
Yes, yes, the high mountains in the middle.
Great. So we've got hot water here. We've got a lovely little teapot and some cups, and looks like we're going to have some tea here in just a minute or two.
Yep. Yeah, the serving pot was made by his friend, and it's done with, done in a kiln that they use wood to fire it.
Mm-hmm. Kind of a raccoon.
Rustic.
Yeah.
It's quite rustic.
So what's this called? This, because we've got a teapot here, and then it gets poured into a...
it's called Tahai.
Tahai.
The sea
tea
of tea.
A ocean?
Tea ocean of tea, yes.
Ocean of tea. It's another pot, basically.
Yes.
So,
because the tea can't be sitting in the water for too long, or else it will over. You can't let it give too much in one
washing.
Yeah.
Of the leaves.
Yes.
Yes, I can help you with your English.
Brewing of the. All right, here it comes.
All right, this is the first washing.
Mm-hmm.
Now, some of these oolong teas, you can brew them, you can wash the leaves a lot. So you can wash it. 大概几次可以泡?
最耐泡的茶就是台湾茶。像我这样泡可以冲12次到16次回冲。
Okay, so these Taiwan teas are really robust, and you can wash the leaves on these like 12 or 16 times. So you can brew up a lot of tea from just a few leaves.
Yes, but mind you, it's using the very small Taiwanese-style teapot. You couldn't do that with a giant pot of water.
Right. So, Pia, tell us a little bit. You've done a little bit of study with tea. And tell us about these small teapots and the process that Mr. Lee is going through here to extract the flavors. A lot of people in the West think that this is some kind of a ceremony. I'm not sure about your thoughts on this. It seems to me it's just more of a really handy technology for getting to know something about the character of the leaves and enjoy some tea along the way.
Well, historically there have been a lot of different ways to make tea. It's been, like in the Tang Dynasty, it was powdered and whisked in a bowl.
Sort of Japanese style?
Yeah, Tang Dynasty, Japan, a lot of the culture went over during the Tang Dynasty and has remained there. It's lovely, huh?
Li Sen Sang, this is the first pot. Because the flavor is very rich. So this is the first washing of these leaves, folks. And often with the first washing, it's a little bit weak. It's not that fragrant. It's not that full yet. But this This is already just the first washing of the leaves, and it's incredibly delicious tea. Very full flavored.
This is very high quality.
Did I hear him say correctly that this is one of the, like, it won an award, or it's an award-winning tea?
No. It's just come down from the mountain, so it's very, very fresh. It's the first of the spring teas from Li Mountain. Just continue a little bit what I was saying before. There have been a lot of different, there have been pressed tea cakes. There have been teas that have had, like, times during tea history, the tea culture, in which they've had to cook the tea in a pot and they cook it with medicines. Mm. That was also an earlier stage of tea. And at this point now in Taiwan, it's within the culture, they use these very tiny tea pots, and it kind of condenses the flavor in a way that you don't need to brew it for very long, so that each brewing of the leaves is very distinct, is very powerful, and it's very concentrated.
And it seems like you don't drink the same tea all the way through. I mean, the flavor can really change over the course of washing the leaves.
Yes. 在泡茶的过程里面，第一泡的那个它放出来的内容物跟中间跟后面的那个从化学层面的。
Alright,
so it has a lot to do with the way that the tea is made. It's rolled into these very tight balls, and so when the hot water goes on it, they open a little bit, so they're giving a little bit of the flavor, but it has the different kinds of if we look at it from a chemical perspective, the greatest amount are at the very beginning. But then towards the middle of the third, fourth, fifth brew, you get that the leaves are much more open, and so they're giving a lot more. And so that's why the flavor seems to get a lot stronger and thicker. And then it will slowly get less, it'll become more and more, the kinds of flavors it'll slow down.
The flavor profile really does change as the leaves, as they get wet and they open up.
Mm-hmm.
I think maybe in the beginning you seem to maybe get more of the volatiles.
Yes.
More of the flowery volatiles.
The very subtle ones that they come and go very quickly.
They come and go quickly in the first washing or two, and then you get these sort of more sturdy flavors that come through later.
I've lost half my English.
I noticed.
Yeah.
That's okay. Man man jiang. We should have banged ta lian shi ying wen. Since I taught ying wen, yo yi dian dian zao gao. I mean, it can really be funny with the language this way.
Yes.
That
we've been kaka.
The two languages can kind of mess with each other, and we can either forget our words or the grammars get mixed up. So you might be using English words with Chinese grammar and
or the terminology, because I've learned all about tea in Chinese. And the same with Chinese medicine. I studied all in Chinese. I can't talk about it in English. I have no idea.
It's much harder.
How to talk about it, how to speak about Chinese medicine, or about Buddhism, a lot of Buddhism, and like the things that I've studied in Chinese. It's really hard for me to express in English.
It's really hard. Well, I can tell you I made a big mistake almost 20 years ago when I first came to Taiwan to learn some Chinese, because I thought if I understood Chinese medicine in Chinese, I'd be able to explain it better to people in English. Guess what? It took me further from the mark.
Oh.
Right? So I can understand how you would have this issue. You've learned it in Chinese.
Yes.
Taking it into English, we have the words, but there's so much experience that happens in this other language.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to catch the nuance.
Yes. Yes. Yeah, and if you want to just speak normally, you can't be sitting there thinking of an appropriate choice of words.
No, because it gets in the way of conversation.
Right, like the volatiles. That was perfect. It was like, oh yeah, that is so perfect. It's exactly what I wanted to say, but conceptually and the way it's expressed is completely different than Chinese.
How would you say volatiles in Chinese?
Oh, okay, now you're testing my Chinese.
Hmm?
But yeah.
No, I'm just curious.
For the flavors of the tea that you were just talking about.
Yes.
It would be hachimianda bijiao wei shi de yixie wei dao.
Wei shi de wei dao.
But that's not exactly right, because now I'm thinking I'm like half in English and half in Chinese.
Okay.
So my brain is all mixed up.
Maybe Mr. Lee would know. Could we ask him?
Yeah. 描述前面的那些比较很快就分发的那些味道。Oh, I love coming here. His explanations are so clear and concise and really, like, he's got so much research in his back pocket that he can talk about it from a scientific but also from a very everyday, like, combining them. So basically what we talk about is, like, as the fragrance, the flowery fragrances...which don't last for very long, mm-hmm. even in the wild. Like, the fragrance of a flower kind of comes and goes in little whiffs. So it's that those delicate, subtle, flowery fragrances.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas the body of it is more, it comes out into the water itself. Whereas the fragrances kind of ride on the water, whereas the body of the tea, which is the more like the...there's actually bits and bobs in the water,
mm-hmm.
like that color the water and that thicken the water and the oily parts and whatever, that is where the body of the tea, it's actually infused into the water, whereas the fragrances kind of ride on the water.
Kind of rides on the water. And, you know, the thing that I found really interesting about, well, the Oolong in particular and Dongfang Meiren as well, mm-hmm. and a few other teas, once you've finished the tea in your teacup,
mm-hmm.
there's still some fragrance that lingers in the cup. You can sort of put it up to your nose,
yes.
and breathe in through your nose, and you'll get this intense, it's either sweet or honey, but there'll be some kind of flavor that's similar to what you taste with your tongue, except you're actually tasting it with your nose.
他刚才在说明说那个喝完了杯子里面还会留香，很好的茶就有这样子的。
所以我们也不是，
不久了，
哎，也不是说跟南传那边的深有很深的那个根啊，没有，我们大概就接
触。So we're talking about Buddhism.
That's what in the、
yeah.
the north and south.
North and southern, yeah.
yeah.
Northern and southern is kind of like it's more like、Theravada and Mahayana. Is probably better names to use about the、uh-huh. differences. Just slightly, we're talking a little bit about the differences.
And which would be associated with north?
The Mahayana.
The Mahayana.
The northern. And southern, because it was, the Theravada tradition was preserved much better in Southeast Asia. So it's called the southern tradition. She started learning in the northern, but then Miss Yang ended up just really resonating with the southern, with Theravada tradition and practices that.
Hi everyone, Anne Cecil Sturman here. I'd like to let you know about the Classical Medicine Academy, a place where students and seasoned practitioners gather to deepen their working knowledge of the complete classical acupuncture and dietary systems. CMA is subscription-based and live online, providing 20 hours per month of question and answer sessions in acupuncture, channel practice, dietary medicine,cultivation and Qigong classes, plus self-paced courses in many subjects, including pulse diagnosis, plus hundreds of hours of archived classes in dietary medicine taught by my husband, Andrew Sturman, plus hundreds of hours of archived classes taught by me, Cody Dodo, and Daniel Post. Join our heart-centered community and bring questions and cases for discussion. You'll be invited to join our private Facebook community group, where over 750 people network to discuss cases and theory with classical practitioners on 5 continents. Welcome to the Classical Medicine Academy tab on my website, annececilsturman.com. See you there.
可以又泡我们上次在这里喝的红乌龙。
好。
好。So I've just asked Mr. Lee if we could drink some of this red oolong. I was here last week.
其实那不叫红乌龙。
哦，应该叫
红乌龙跟这个种花效的。
At the beginning of the process, there is heavy oxidation of the leaves before or fermentation. Some people call it fermented. Some people call it oxidation. Before it goes into the drying process. And that's the very traditional way of making it. And so traditionally this was just oolong, but oolong now has become associated with a much greener, with a much less fermented or less oxidized tea. Whereas this was the traditional way of drinking it, was the way that he makes it.
So back in the day they made it like this.
Yes.
Now they've gone to these lighter, sort of more of a blue-green tea.
Yeah.
It's a little oxidized. It's not quite green tea, which has very little or no oxidation.
No oxidation.
Has a little bit of oxidation.
Yeah. Green tea has up to 5%, whereas the oolong that's out today is like about 12 to 20. Let me check and make sure on those numbers.
Check on that. And then check on the red oolong that we're about to drink.
So, 依我的了解，那个绿茶的发酵度是可以到五，还是完全零？
以数据来讲是要零才能叫做绿茶。
So let me first get this part before we go on. Technically, green tea should have zero oxidation or fermentation, but between the time that it's cut and the time that what's called sa qing, which means to kill the microbes, which means to freeze it in the state that it, like they use steam to stop it in its chemical process so that it no longer oxidates or ferments. And in that time, it may, but it's like within the 5% range. And technically it should be zero, but most of the time there's like a time lapse between cutting the tea and actually steaming
between
it.
Between the time you cut it and the time that you actually, because it's going to naturally ferment a bit.
Yes,
after
yes.
you've cut it, between the time you've cut it and the time that you actually stop the fermentation, a little bit has
little bit,
probably
little
passed.
Bit. But then like if it's like a little bit over five, but not up to the point of oolong, then you have white tea, yellow tea, or what's called qing cha. Qing cha is very hard to translate it into English because qing is like a dark green, which...
Well, it's kind of a greenish blue, as I understand
it. Greenish bluish, yeah. It's an algae kind of a color.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Or the color of darker, deeper water.
Mm. Especially like up in the Pacific Northwest where I used to live.
Mm.
We would have kind of a qing color.
Yeah.
And, you know, depending on the day, it would look a little more blue or a little more gray or a little more green.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's another step up in fermentation. What comes after qing cha?
There are a bunch of... first, he gives like the overall map of all of the teas. So there is the green, completely unfermented. There is the slightly fermented white, yellow, and the qing or the blue-green. And then there is the partially fermented range, which is
which
is the largest range. And then there is the what is called red tea, or what we call black tea. And then there is, in Chinese, which is fully fermented. The red tea is a fully fermented tea. And then there is black tea, which is a post-fermented process. It has a process of post-fermentation, and it's called black tea.
And that would be like your pu'er teas.
Yes, pu'er tea. And there is a tea which is called black tea. Hi. Michael, 他来自美国，他是一个中医师。
No, it's great. You know, sometimes people just come in. You know, we're hanging at a tea shop. People in Taiwan come in, they hang out, they drink tea, and this is Mr.
Lawyer Wu.
Lawyer Wu. And so tell us what he just said.
Right. So Lawyer Wu had some very good points about tea being part of the culture. And it's an everyday thing. It's just part of everyday life, in like a lot of things, like a lot of things that have curative or preventative properties have become just a part of the everyday life or a part of the cycle of things which people eat and drink. And so tea is also can be called a medicine because it helps helps our skin and other things. 前面有提到什么的，我忘记了。Oh, that's right. So earlier he was talking about tea, you know, like in England that they've got the afternoon tea, but that's more like for, you know, it goes with snacks and everything, and it's but in China it's part of the culture, and he's Lawyer Wu talked about culture as being the things that stay with us after the when you sift the rice. And the parts of it that get thrown away are the parts that blow away in the wind, are the parts that are not nutritious. Culture is what's left. It's like the rice that is left in the basket, in the sifting basket, which is full of nutrition, which is full of things that are good for people. And tea is combined, like, is part of the Chinese medicine is very similar. It's through people's experience and what gets, you know, like what is tried and true over thousands of years, you know, like which ones are effective medicines and what do they actually do for you. You know, this is like, it comes through thousands of years of experience of Chinese medical doctors. And the connection between Chinese medicine and tea is the qi. Because tea has qi, and it depends on where the qi flows as to the curative properties of this tea.
Now, I'm glad you bring that up, because I know that in the time that I've been here in Taiwan and we've been hanging out and drinking tea, sometimes you'll talk about, oh, I can feel this tea in my Du channel, I can feel this tea in my Zhen channel.
Yes.
Usually when people think about drinking tea, they're thinking about a flavor. Of course, Chinese medicine doctors know that different herbs and different substances will enter different jingluo.
Yeah.
So talk to us a bit about tea and the jingluo.
Well, it's the same thing as medicine. I mean, medicines are plants. And they're leaves and they're sticks and things like that. Well, so is tea. Yeah. Tea is leaves and sticks and things like that. And they'll have energy because they come from the earth, and they grow because of energy. And so if you can quiet your mind and still your body and just make contact either with your hand or with your tongue or through the fragrance with the energy, and you can then feel in your body, what is this energy doing in my body? Then you can feel, is it affecting the stomach? Is it moving along the stomach meridian? Or how does my stomach feel as I touch or approach this tea? How does my, you know, like, what is moving in the body? Where is the feeling in the body? So if you just quiet your mind, I mean, most people naturally have these abilities. It's just a matter of whether you open yourself to them or not.
And in your experience, would you say that different teas enter different meridians?
Absolutely. Yes.
And does that have to do with the kind of tea or the way it's processed, or it's just its particular unique nature, or maybe even its nature with this particular moment?
Yes. From my experience with particularly strong energy, like the energetic experience of the tea, it's particularly strong with the tree type of pu'er tea. Different areas of the tea have extremely different, they have like a different qi.
So different parts of the same tree?
No, different
areas where the tree is.
Yeah, different parts of Yunnan. There's like a river, and then there's like one which is called the mother, the female side, and then the male side, or the yin side and the yang side.
Of the river.
Yeah, areas in Yunnan where the trees grow, and the energy is completely distinct. It's distinctively yang and distinctively yin when you drink those pu'er. And the yang is very, from my experience, very concentrated, very pillar-like. It goes to the middle of the body, going shooting up into the sky and then down into the earth. Whereas the one from the yin area is much more cloud-like. It kind of, it's like your body kind of dissipates in a cloud-like sort of a feeling when you drink the tea energetically. It's very, very distinct. But both of them lead to. A state of very peaceful and focused mind. But one is in a dissipative focus, relaxed, complete relaxed and letting go, and the other one is a very concentrated but relaxed and focused. It's very, very interesting.
One of the things I really enjoy about Chinese medicine, thinking about these things, that we can get to something like being relaxed from a yin aspect or from a yang aspect. You know, so often we think yang has nothing to do with relaxation. You know, it's very easy to make that mistake.
Yeah.
But here you're talking about that we could take both of these energies and they can each arrive us in a similar place through different methods, so to speak. Different pathways.
Yeah.
Just never know where the conversation is going to go in a tea house.
That's true, because you never know who's going to walk in the door.
That's right.
我们刚刚喝的发酵度百分之十五，这个大概百分之四十。百分之四十。
So this tea, even though it's an oolong, the same as the last one, but the pre-processing before it gets steamed is completely different, and it's Mr. Li was talking about before, like it can be chemically tested as to.
Bye. Oh, Neely, hi. Bye bye.
As to, like, if you do an actual testing on it, the transfer, the oxidation process can be measured. So it's this measuring, and like once you've measured enough tea, you don't need the equipment to measure it. The old masters didn't have equipment to measure.
No, they just know how to do it.
They knew how to do it. They knew how this color and this amount of the leaf has turned red, that it is at this point of oxidation. And they know that this is, if they wanted to turn it into an oolong like we're drinking now, a very traditional, more earthy flavored oolong, then they would have to, let it wilt and oxidate to percentage, that level.
And he said this one that we're drinking now is oxidized at about 45%.
45%, yeah. Very traditional, very traditional flavor.
And the color is so different. The color of what we were drinking before was sort of a yellow green, and this is more of a golden amber.
Yes. Yes, 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 yes.
So
it's more earthy. So here's our friend. He has a he's a radio personality who does interviews on the radio. He's asked me a few times to do an interview. I haven't.
You should.
Yeah.
Why not?
Oh, I don't know what to talk about yet. Just think about something to talk about.
You could talk about anything. You could talk about tea, like we're doing right now. Yeah, why not go on the radio? You got plenty to talk about.
I wonder if the Taoist is going to come today.
I don't know. I mean, you never know.
Could be.
Who might show up in a place like this?
Well, this is the most interesting tea shop. Very different than others. Many times on Monday, I've been sitting here with a minister. A minister from who lives in America. She's the daughter of a man who was a very old singing personality on television here. Lawyer Wu comes. Yeah, Wu comes, and then there's this man with a long white beard. He's a Taoist master, and there's another man who is also a Taoist, but he's more like in the he does fortune telling. He's a Taoist, but he does fortune telling, and he also has studied Buddhism. And then we have a few businessmen who come, and we have this man who is the radio announcer. And it's a very interesting tea shop.
And there's you.
And there's me.
And the small dog.
And the little dog, yeah.
Yeah.
Since I
said Louis.
No.
No.
This is very natural.
I know I need to get some more of this red oolong to take home, and he said that you can take this stuff and put it in a ceramic container and let it sit for a few years.
Yes.
So you were talking about some of the different teas, the black tea in particular, but this tea as well, that you can let it sit for years and it will get better and better.
Ask Lawyer Wu about this. His house is full of treasure, like bottles full of treasures, different tea treasures from different time periods. Ask him how long. Ask him what his oldest tea is.
How do you say store? Sun?
存放。
你存放的茶，最老的是多老？1981 is the oldest tea that you started collecting. You've got tea from 1981.
But he's got even older tea than that, though. The tea was older before it got to him.
你跟他讲，那是我自己喝存下来的。
Yeah.
我在买的茶里面。
So like from the tea that the oolong tea he started buying in 1981, and has every year he buys a bunch of tea and some he will store.Drink very slowly, and some he drinks right away that year and enjoys it. And then after having experienced oolong teas, he got into pu'er. And some of the pu'er cakes are much older, but they were older before they came into his hands. But from his own oolong tea, starting from 1981, he has a collection of teas from every year from then up to now.
Sounds like quite a collection. I'm just getting mine going over the past 15 years.
Mm-hmm. Well, 15 years is pretty good time. Do you have some nice storage vats?
No, mainly the teas that I store are the pu'er teas. Mm. I don't have them in a vat. I keep them in a kind of a cabinet.
Okay. Uh-huh.
And I've got a friend up in Taipei.
Yeah.
Who has some old teas, and he will often lay some of those on me, and I keep those in some containers and drink them slowly because,
yeah,
you know, you're lao, you're hao. You know, the older they get, the better they are.
Yes.
But I definitely want to get some of this red oolong, and you know, probably drink some when I get home, and then maybe drink.A little bit next year, and maybe a little bit the year after, put it in a nice little earthen container.
Yeah.
See what it's like in 5 years. So what's going on here as these teas, these particular kinds of teas, they sit? What's happening that allows them to keep turning into something else?
Ask Mr. Lee. Well, he's the expert.
Okay. You ask him for me.
Hey.这个茶放在瓮里面，它是什么样的一个过程 ？Teas, they will continue their process of a post fermentation as time goes along, and whether or not you put it into an earthen vessel, there is a little bit more like contact with the air because it's more porous. But you can keep it just in the bag itself.
Bye bye.
You can keep it in the bag and it's fine. Because it's actually more airtight than that. And the process of change, chemical change, will happen much slower.
The Teixin is a gentle and effective tool for treating patients without inserting acupuncture needles. Using a Teixin causes no pain or discomfort, allowing practitioners to treat even the most sensitive of people.Using the Teixin invites practitioners to evolve senses and dormant capacities. Humans are capable of great subtlety, far greater than we often believe. Working with the Teixin compels us to confront many of our assumptions about what makes acupuncture effective. This exciting journey of self-discovery helps practitioners to refocus how they practice acupuncture. If you'd like to dig in deeper,Check out episode 303, where I talk about all things Teixin with Dr. Bob Quinn. Blue Poppy carries a series of handcrafted Teixins created by a silversmith cooperative in San Pancho, Mexico. They also offer many videos on their YouTube channel, which provides basic instruction on how to use a Teixin and other non-insertive tools that they carry. Dr. Bob Quinn's best-selling book on how to effectively use the Teixin is also available. Visit www.bluepoppy.com for Teixins and other fine Japanese acupuncture tools.
So having it exposed to the air will speed it up. But he was saying something about it getting moldy.
Oh, yes. And I asked about, is there a limitation of how long you can keep it? And he said, not really, unless it gets exposed to moisture, which will lead to mold, which will make it undrinkable. Will spoil it.
It'll ruin it.
It'll spoil it, yeah.
So you want to keep it dry.
Yes.
And you want to have it exposed to a little bit of air.
Yeah. Yes.
And you want to let it sit for a few years.
Mm-hmm.
Or a decade.
Yeah.
Or two.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh.
Oh.
Okay. All right. So now we're going to have a red oolong. This is a little different than the one that we've just had.
Yes.
Mr. Lee is going to pile this up. He's going to chong shui. Pile up some tea. Brew up some tea. We're going to see how this one is compared to the last one that we had. This is one of the really fun things about hanging out in a Taiwanese tea house is there's so many kinds of tea. They each have their own tusa. They have their own particular characteristic. And not only in just going through a pot of tea and seeing its flavor profile, like we were talking earlier, but to be able to sit here and compare some different teas, mm-hmm. how's this one a little bit different than that, and also just what it's like, what the feeling is like while we're in here, because...
Why don't you just describe what's around you?
I'm going to do that, but what I was first going to say was, yeah. you know, some different people have come in, they've come out,
yeah.
you know, different people are being in the room, change the feeling of the room.
Yeah.
Right? It could be a little quieter, a little noisier. There's just a, you know, there's just a feeling. So we're in a little shop here. It's probably measured, I don't know. It's, I'm not good with measurements, but it's kind of a narrow and somewhat long shop. There are wooden cabinets that hold teapots and little storage vessels for putting the tea in. And then, of course, there are just, I was going to say acres and acres, but that's an exaggeration. But there's all kinds of tea in here. There's little bags here. There's canisters there. I'm going to try to get some pictures for you guys as well so you can see what it looks like. The place is just full of tea. And we're sitting here at Mr. Lee's. He's got this big tea table. And this is really... The tea tables here are interesting because you splash a lot of water around. So these are self-draining. So you can get pretty playful with the water, and it just drains down into a bucket that later you throw away. And we've got all kinds of teapots sitting here, and different teacups. Yep. What else? What do you notice in here, Pia?
Well, a little bit. What's really unusual here is that a lot of his friends will buy a pot and fill it with tea and leave it at his shop. So when they come, occasionally, like if there's like a auspicious meeting of people, they will say, take some tea from that pot of mine over there in the back. And so they will offer their tea to the guests who are here. And it's often tea that has been sitting here for 10, 15 years, and it's a really particularly delicious one, and it's a community event, and his shop is very much about people coming together, people making friends, you know, like making connections, helping each other out with advice about things. Like oftentimes people will talk about the things that they're dealing with and try to help each other out. As they sit here at this table with whoever may come and whoever may or may not know each other, but you become friends by the end of your time in the tea shop, whether or not you buy tea. You don't have to buy tea when you come into a tea shop.
You just get to bring yourself to the tea shop.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is a unique thing. This is something you wouldn't really find in the United States.
No.
It
no.
just doesn't exist.
Not really.
Yeah, this is part of the Taiwanese wanhua.
Beautiful
it's
part of the culture.
Beautiful yeah. part of the Taiwanese culture. You can just come and hang in a tea shop.
Yeah.
You meet new friends. You get to try different teas. Sometimes you learn a little something about tea. I mean, I'm no expert on tea, but I find that it's delightful to be able to hang out with people who know a lot about tea,
mm-hmm.
because a little bit will sometimes rub off.
Well, this is a very traditional way of tea shop operating. It's all about community. It's all about relationships. Because sooner or later, you're going to need tea and we'll buy it. But not every shop operates like this. But for the most part, you know, like if you go into a shopping mall or whatever, if they have a table out, they're going to make tea for you. You can sit down and try it. And for the most part, they're not going to like be pressuring you to buy it straight off. They're just offering you tea.
Yeah.
Building relationships with your customer base is very important.
I've seen this all over the island in my time here, that there is a certain spirit of generosity.
Very much.
Very big spirit of generosity. And there's something about people just coming together. Like you were saying, people come for advice, they come for some companionship, they come for community. It's kind of a community center.
Yes.
With good tea.
你觉得呢? 没有，我是说，我在讲说这边的文化，其实这个一个茶行，不只是茶行，以茶会友。嗯，哎， from tea, friendships through tea.
Friendships through tea. 以茶会友.
So this is this must be very precious. It's in a very, very tiny bag. Must be very nice, good quality.
And it's a different kind of teapot. This one is less rounded and kind of a square looking thing. Mm-hmm. Look at the color of that stuff.
Wow.
Go ahead and translate what he just said. That was
beautiful.
Beautiful.
So he says, teapots have personality. Cups have personality. The tea has different, each tea has its own personality. Even water has its own personality. And so, depending on the personality of the tea that you are making, you need to choose the pot that suits it, the water, and also the cups that suit it.
Mm.
And this is just experience as to how to choose the right one. It's just experience.
And this tea is, it's like, it's sort of ruby.
Yeah.
我可以泡椒吗？可以。因为那个陈彩那个阳光，真的很特别。OK。So
this is very technical now. So this is called red oolong because first they use red tea, the process of making red tea in which they break the leaves in the wilting in the wilting process. And so that there's a lot of oxidation, so that there are more faces to oxidize. So when the leaves are broken up and smashed a little bit, it will oxidize much more fully.
Mm.
And then they start the oolong process, in which they do sa qing, which is like the steaming to stop it exactly where it is, and then rolling it into balls. Whereas red tea wouldn't do that. Red tea is not rolled.
It's not rolled.
And it's not steamed. The one he did, okay, 好, 那个, 这个是这个的, 那, 刚才喝的,
那个叫胭脂乌龙.
Okay, so the one that we were just drinking before is actually done completely as an oolong, but just the process in the beginning of wilting and also allowing the tea leaves to sit and ferment. So first sunning it and then wilting it. So these two processes, the time is just elongated, much longer than with the Li San tea that we had at the very beginning. That would be a very short time because it's only about 12%. But to 45%, the time, you just need a lot longer time in the sun, sitting and wilting and oxidizing. But you don't crush it.
And with this stuff, you're crushing it up.
You have to crush it.
And you're really forcing the fermentation. You're just speeding it up.
Yes. And he just talked about there are two particular chemicals which make it red that will come out in the oxidizing, and breaking it will release a lot more of those. It will have that particular chemical transformation. And I don't know the chemical names of those.
That's okay. This tea is delicious, and it's gorgeous.
Yes. So, Michael, what are you interested in getting?
Oh, well, I definitely want to get some of that...
Yinzi Oolong.
Yinzi Oolong.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to get some of that tea that we first drank.
Ah, okay.
The Li San. The Li San. 就是刚才做的. 我们第一次喝的. 不要买一些那个. Get with Tai Tai. I'm gonna bring some of that first stuff home to my wife. I think she'll really love it. And then the Yensan, and then I should probably take a little bit of this.
It's very healthy. It's been 20 years, it's uncultivated, it's not been cultivated, and it's been left in the wild for 20 years, and they haven't cleared the underbrush or whatever. They just kind of go in and take what they get.
So this is wild tea?
Yeah.
Yeah, Sean, it's a wild tea.
Yeah.
Okay, so we're going to get some of this wild...
Huh?
Okay.
Huh?
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
So good.
So his filming of your interviewing is on his Facebook, so you can use his card to take a look at.
Ah, great.
Yeah.
So, well, we can just link to that on the show notes page.
You can.
He already put it up on Facebook?
Yeah.
We were sitting here drinking tea, and this cat,
and we were
like...
We were interviewing
Mr. Lee, and he's sitting there...
Doing a live broadcast.
Doing a live broadcast onto Facebook. I love Taiwan. Well, Mr. Lee, yeah, I'm going to want some of, actually, each of these that we've had here today, because this stuff is just so delicious. Lee Sin Chung, thank you so much for sharing your tea with us today and giving us these explanations, selling me these fabulous leaves that I can take home and share with my friends. Any other comments that you'd like to share before we beat it out of here?
Well, I'm very happy to share my little corner of Taiwan with you and through this wonderful technology with further friends in America, and hope more people can come and enjoy and make Taiwan part of their life more than beyond the podcast.
Well, I hope that you enjoyed this vintage Everyday Acupuncture podcast conversation. There are 80 episodes, and you can download them to your podcast player from Apple or wherever you go to get your podcasts. Thanks as always for listening. If you liked this conversation, if you learned something new, or found a moment of inspired insight, share the episode with your friends. If you want to support Geological, there's just one way to do that. It's by going to the website and becoming a member or leaving a one-time contribution today. Well, folks, that's it for today. Join us again next Tuesday for another conversation that connects up the voices of our community.